You're listening to Band Geek with Richie Castellano on the Riotcast Network. Riotcast.com.
Hey guys, Richie here. This is Band Geek episode 42, which is a part two of our interview with Ron Thal, who also goes by the name Bumblefoot. If you don't know who Ron is, he's played with Guns N' Roses, Lita Ford, and more currently, the supergroup Art of Anarchy. He's also a frequent counselor at the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp, and he's had a prolific solo career. His new album is called Little Brother is Watching, and we've been discussing that. So if you missed the first part, go back. You can hear it on iTunes or Stitcher, or you can go to riotcast.com and stream it right from there. But please check that out. We played a bunch of songs, and we're going to play even more now. So before we get started, I just want to take care of some business. Please support the show by going to www.riotcast.com/bandgeek, and at the top of the page is an Amazon banner. If you click that before you do your shopping, a small percentage of your purchase goes to supporting the show, and it helps us keep going. And it doesn't cost you anything extra. Please rate on iTunes or whatever you're listening to this show on. And subscribe to our YouTube channel and our social media and all that stuff. When we last left off with Ron, he was about to explain some of his playing techniques. Ron is a very unique guitar player with his own signature style. And one of his signature things is that he uses a thimble on his pinky on the right hand to get better note extension. I mean, on most guitar players, you know, once they get up to the 22nd or 24th fret, that's it. I mean, you could bend a little bit, but that's it. You can't go much higher. But Ron has actually come up with a method of using a thimble on his right pinky to get notes all the way up to the end of the guitar. So it's really incredible. And he's going to talk about that, plus some really mind-bending compositional techniques that are awesome. So that's it. Hope you enjoy it, and thanks for listening.
So what's going on with this? You want to get all your little thingies?
No, keep going.
Okay. So ran out of frets and wanted to keep the notes. Well, let me say that like I'm not a fucking moron. So the whole thing is you're playing on the string. You're not really playing on the fretboard. The fretboard is behind you, and it gives you guides of notes, and it helps you to... You know, you get a little fret, and you press your little string against a little fret, and you get your note. But the notes continue even when the fretboard doesn't. So you have to start thinking about playing on the string, and what are you doing with the string? Well, you're shortening lengths of string to get higher notes by shortening the length. So what you do is once you run out of frets to press the string against, you take this, and you press that as if it was a fret on your finger that you can put onto your finger and press it against the string. So that once you run out of frets, you got that. And that's how you get a lot of higher notes that you wouldn't be able to get.
Intonation, is that just a matter of practice and memorizing where the notes are?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's almost like
magnetic? Is that what it is?
It's not magnetic. I had one that was in it. Every once in a while, it would be like... be stuck to the... But, yeah, they do get magnetized after a while, because I have a magnet in here, and it would stay there, and then it would be like... So, yeah, in that song, Guitar Suck, what's happening is, as I'm going up in little patterns of five, it's like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and it keeps on going, so you got 1, 2, 3, 4, and it goes up to the top. I should play that better. And it gets...
That's amazing. I don't get tired of watching that.
And it just keeps on, you know, whatever. But, yeah, so that's one way to do it. And then the other thing is you have to remember that the string has these division points where the same things happen, because all you're doing is shortening the length of string. So if you shorten it here to here, it's going to be the same sound as if you shorten from here to here. Like this right here, from 12th fret to here, if your guitar is intonated, it's going to be the same distance as from here to here. If you went... So that, with that in mind, that means that if there's a way to shorten the length of the string, not just from this way by using the frets, but doing it this way, you will get the same effect. So let's say you go... You could also... You can get it right there. So now you can shorten the string this way and have the same kind of things happen. Instead of going... Or going... You can go, and you can get it there. Because it's doing the same thing. All we're doing is we're shortening the string by this much. So if you do it here, or you do it here, off of this, it's going to be the same pitch.
Are you pushing the string down? Is that what's happening?
It's like doing a hammer-on. When you're doing this, you're shortening the length of the string from this long to that long.
Yeah.
So, as long as the string is shortened by this much, if you do it here... You can do it there. You can do it there instead of... Or... So,
you get a much more fluid sound out of that.
And you can also be working off of a lot of different notes. And once you start doing that, you could really get into a lot...
Wait, so does the thimble go flat as you go up, or is it...
Oh, what do you mean? I'm just sort of just like hitting it down as if I was tapping down the string against the fret. You're just doing
it. It's like capoing from the other side,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, that's how I'm seeing it.
Yeah. So that's how you can get like... And get all the different... So you can make the guitar talk a lot by doing that. And then once I got into that, I was like, all right, well... Here. And then just trying to bypass frets altogether and just be able to do everything.
That's awesome. So, yeah. Well, thank you for that.
No, sure.
Let's play another song, because I know there are people listening who don't know anything about theory or guitars and want to hear us just jam a little bit. So I know we discussed a bunch of songs that we're going to play ahead of time. Why don't you pick one that you want to do?
What else was on that list?
We have the Kiss song. Now, I know the reason... Do you want to do it in up a half step? I mean, because they tuned down. No, so let's do it in regular key.
I could do it in this.
No, let's do it. We'll do it in C sharp. Okay. Can you sing this?
Sure.
I have the lyrics there. I also have a chart for a Kiss song. I feel very dirty.
I'm really happy that there's another Kiss fan here finally, because I've been outnumbered.
Huge. This would be a good one to do. So many vocal harmonies in the song.
I remember the time I was lonely without her. No, no, no. And now she's mine, and I spend my time dreaming about her. Love her all I can and try and understand the things that make her bad, the things that make her sad. I'm a lucky guy, I hardly ever try and never ruin that, never ever sad. She's so easy to please and it doesn't take money. Oh no, we could have a good time while the skies are sunny. Oh, I love her all I can and try and understand the things that make her bad, and the things that make us sad. I'm a lucky guy, I hardly ever cry. And where the world looks bad, you never ever say.
So do you want to do it in C instead of C sharp?
Let's do C sharp, because I charted it out in that. And
unless you want to switch to tune downs.
Nah, that's alright.
So, alright. So, get up! Who wants to do those?
Alright.
And the get up, get down!
Get up, get down!
So it's get up, get down, and get up, get down, and gotta lose your mind in Detroit, right today.
What is it? You're gonna lose your mind?
Gotta lose your mind in Detroit, Rock City.
You gotta lose your mind in Detroit, Rock City. That's what you want me to sing?
Nice. Oh, solo.
Why don't you do that by yourself? I think people would dig seeing that.
12 o'clock, gotta rock.
Alright. I think I can handle this.
Let's see if I actually know these words or not. I don't think I do.
So is this your first favorite band, Kiss?
Beatles and Kiss. Saturday night.
All right, you want to just go into it?
Shall we?
All right. You gotta lose your mind in Detroit, Rock City. Right?
You gotta lose your mind in Detroit, Rock City.
All right, yeah. Here we
go. You gotta lose your mind in Detroit, Rock City.
Let's do it.
Ready? A one, two, a one, two, three, four. Lovely.
That's the name of that tune.
Hey, yeah.
I had a couple other things I wanted to ask you before we go and launch into our last little block of tunes. So what gear are you using these days?
I'm using this thing.
Now, can you describe that guitar and explain like how that guitar came to be? Because is that your model?
Started off, somebody planted a little seedling of a tree in France. So yeah, this is my model. Vigier Guitars, Vigier, based out of France, and they make all my wacky guitars for me for the last 18 years. And what can I tell you about this thing? It's got two necks. One of them's got frets, the other one don't. DiMarzio pickups, got tone zones here, choppers here, five-way toggle. You got the humbucker, you got it as a single, you got both together, both out of phase, and then just that one. It's got the little doohickey to hold the thimble thing. Your volume here, and you switch necks right there.
We'll post pictures and of this when this episode airs. So.
And the fretless isn't a wood fingerboard.
Stainless steel.
There you go.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah.
You have a Floyd on that one, but you don't have the bar.
Yeah. Yeah. You. Thanks for pointing that out. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Got a bar? Well, no, you don't need one. Look.
There you go. Nice. What about amps?
Yeah, I use them.
What amps are you using these days?
Engel amps. The Invader 100-watt head. That's my amp of choice.
That's beautiful.
It is. It's got pretty blue lights.
Are you still using the
Nova? No!
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 Are you still using the Nova system?
Yeah.
Yes! So you have that going through the effects loop, right?
Correct.
Now, when you play gigs, are you switching from the Nova system, or do you have like a MIDI pedal or something? Like,
I would use a MIDI pedal and have everything in that. But I might start changing up my stuff a little bit, simplifying.
When you do fly rigs, because I see on your like Facebook or your Twitter that you're always doing like these fly gates. What do you bring to those?
For most of those, I bring a Vox Tonelab EX. Which is a bunch of sounds and a wah pedal, and I just put that into the effects loop of whatever amp they have, or in the front if there's no loop, or in the case of no amp, direct out.
Does it have cabinet simulation on it?
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
Yes, it's really, it saved my butt a lot of times.
I tell everybody that because, you know, I've been using the pod for a while, and they said, oh, how can you use that? I said, well, you know what? In a situation where you can't use your amp, it's nice to have something that doesn't sound like shit.
Right. Yeah, you gotta have something.
So that's cool. And do you check that, or do you carry that on that guitar?
You know, I had it in a hard case, And within 2 weeks, every dent and crack happened in that hard case. And I started using a soft bag and carrying it on. Sometimes I do have to gate check it. But since then, in a good year and a half, it's been fine. No problems.
So, yeah. Is that the only guitar you bring with you when you do gigs? Or
crazily, yeah.
But you have two necks on it, so
true. Yeah, that did happen like about a week ago. I was playing, broke a string, so I just played everything on the other neck.
on the fretless neck.
Yeah,
I would have paid in the ass.
That's all right.
Now the song we played last, we did Detroit Rock City. That's high. Now I'm always amazed by your voice and the notes you hit. When you do stuff like that, are you going into false? Are you like going into your head voice, or is your chest voice just that endless?
Well, chest voice and head voice happens from the way we've trained ourselves to speak, from copying people, from developing that habit over millenniums. And what it really boils down to is you have vocal folds that have a thickness that you can control as well as the speed you can control. And what happens is as we're going to higher notes and we're trying to retain the same thickness of the vocal folds, it reaches a point where it just says, nope, and they go thin and let out big puffs of air instead of little tight ones. And there's probably a bunch of people that know a hell of a lot more than me about it that are saying, no, that's totally wrong. He doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. But I think that's what goes on. And that is falsetto and head voice. But really, you can work everything in between and work through it.
So you don't believe in the concept of, like, I have this range and that's that?
No. Absolutely. I remember
you explained this to me once and it kind of blew my mind.
There is elasticity to the throat that if you exercise it, it'll be there and it's capable of it.
Do you do vocal exercises and warm-ups and stuff like that?
Subtly, not as much as I should. Usually before a gig, you'll see me walking around going...
Yeah, because your set... We saw you when you played at the Starland.
Yeah.
Your set is not... easy on the vocals. No. You're up there for a lot of the songs. Did you study with a vocal teacher?
Yeah, I went for a year and a half when I was about 19 and made a world of difference. Because I had a lot of bad habits. I was tightening things up and I had a pretty good range. It's just that things started happening where suddenly I would go to sing and the voice would just grip. Like it would just go, ha! And nothing would come out. I was like, all right, what is that? I got to figure out what I'm doing wrong here. And learned all the right ways to do things, how to basically get out of your own way and let it happen without trying to interrupt the flow of what should be something natural.
I think this is a really important lesson for people to hear. Ron's a successful guy. He gets to tour and tour the world and play great gigs and with a lot of, you know, great people. If you are finding a limitation, work on it. Like you said, you didn't understand jazz, so you went to Peter Prisco and you learned that. And you said it helped you in a lot of ways.
Sure,
you
know? Classical too and everything.
And you're having trouble singing. You went and you got vocal lessons. I mean, and here's the other thing, because we're talking to, if there are young people listening, we're talking to the YouTube generation where it's like, oh, I'll just learn this off of YouTube. It helps to be in a room with someone. I mean, I taught lessons. You taught lessons. That's how I met you. Actually,
I took lessons.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It's... the best thing you can do is learn from someone and then share what you learned and teach someone else and then have them do that. It is the most important part of being a musician in a way. I mean, second to making the music itself, because you're doing the same thing. Someone taught you how to make music. You're making music. You're sharing it with other people. It's inspiring them. They go and make music. They share it. It inspires someone else. And it's not just about giving people the music. You also want to give people the ability to make the music. And that's what teaching does. It's really the most beautiful thing right next to making the music itself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's heavy, man. Actually, I don't think I ever... I think I took one guitar lesson with you. I just think that...
I probably drew like weird pictures all over your notebook and told stupid jokes.
No, you said... Actually, it was an interesting exercise. I could never get it, though. It was take a scale, like a major scale,
mm-hmm.
and move one note or two notes, and now write a song and play a lead with that. And that kind of stretched my brain in a weird way.
Oh, wait. Okay. So it was basically you're just altering a scale.
Yeah.
Just taking a basic diatonic, simple, you know. But just change one note.
Yeah.
I mean, basically just making a mode.
Yeah.
Well, depending on what you do. I mean, you flatten a 7, it's mix O, and you sharpen a 4, and it's... Or you can...
I had such a different sort of path in terms of guitar playing. Like, that, like, we never really discussed guitar playing ever. Like, when we were working together, especially when we were in the studio together at, like, Wave, when that never came up, because we had Mike DeCampo on, and that's basically, it was all like copy, you know what I mean? Like, this is Eric Clapton, your job is to make what you're doing sound like him, and that's another way to do it, you know what I mean? But this sort of like stretched my brain in a way that I wasn't quite ready for at the time. But now like I had to arrive at that from a different angle of like, go through theory modes, this is how you use them, this is when you use them, you know, when you hear this sound, right, this is what you're supposed to use. But you know, I tried to like write a song with it, and I'm like, man, this song sucks.
Well, here's the thing though, it's all about creating resolve, you know, making your ears happy, making the tense waves, you know, reach that point where they bond and they're smooth and they're connected and they're together. And you can do that. That doesn't only happen in a diatonic sequence. It's going to happen anywhere. It happens in every key everywhere. So you can make it happen anywhere. So let's say what we were just doing before. All right, let's take a scale. And let's change two notes. Pick a note.
The second note.
Higher or lower?
Lower.
Okay. Pick a note.
6.
Higher or lower?
Higher.
So now what you have is... That's your scale. So... Now let's take that and let's see, what are the 1-3-5 little chord triads based on that? Well, you start off, you got a C. And then from there, we have that flattened 2 and that sharpened 6 in there with the 4.
Wow.
So suddenly, just from that, you have your...
Sounds like John Williams.
But also, now... If you wanted to get fancy, you also have the, you know, the regular major 7 in there.
Ah.
So now check this out. Look what you just made from that.
Resolution.
Now have the bass go. Now have the bass go. Or you could do that. Just go for a full 7 flat 5. Or we can even just raise it up to from the 4 to the 5. Actually, we should start it with the note that changes. Lifts. Just, you know what? Just give it a regular 5-1. It doesn't have to be that far out, but now you have, suddenly in this altered scale, you have this B flat minor in there that you can use first inversion.
The funny thing about this exercise is that you made something that sounded totally foreign or ugly to some people, and you made it sound completely normal. It's right. Just like completely, you know.
You find the patterns that have a... finishes on the root. And so, I mean, you can alter stuff and then find the things that work together and find ways to still give it resolution, only now it's going to have a little bit more depth to it, a little more complexity to where it takes you. So that's all. That's all that is, that exercise.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you teach anybody, like, currently? Do you have any time to do that?
That's the thing. It's so hard to schedule anything because you want to schedule in advance, and it's hard to make time for 1 hour of something.
Right.
Because usually your time is going towards 2 weeks of something.
But don't you do like clinics and stuff like that?
That I do. So
that's still teaching.
Yeah, yeah. So I do a lot of that. I've been doing a lot of rock and roll fantasy camps now.
Yeah. Oh, did you get to play with Rudy?
Oh, tons, yeah.
I love Rudy. Great. We played with Rudy for like 3-4 years.
Wonderful, wonderful guy.
He taught me how to do video editing.
Is that right?
Yeah. He told me something, and actually, I want to talk to you about this. He told me, he goes, look, in the 2000s, if you're a musician and you don't have video content online, you don't exist.
True.
That's what he told me. So he said, go get Sony Vegas. And I got it, I went to his hotel room when we were on the road, and I sat there. So I go, how do you do this? How do you reverse something? How do you do a cut? How do you do a fade? And he was very patient with me and showed me everything. And, you know, and that actually led to me doing my YouTube stuff, which kind of gave me, which was one of the most successful things I've ever done. So, but, you know, I agree with that. And where I'm going with this is social media is very important for musicians, and I follow you on social media. Now, are you doing that yourself, or do you have? Because I know a lot of people have some like a service they hire to do that.
Right.
Are you doing it?
No, I do it. I've done. You know what? I've done so many things myself for so many years that for the time it takes to delegate things to other people and then keep an eye on it and make sure that it's being done properly, it's less effort to just do it yourself.
Are you just on top of it all the time? Because it just seems like you really have it going on with all of your Instagram and your Twitter and your Facebook.
A lot of multitasking. Yeah.
And for the listeners at home, tell us your...
Oh, yeah. Derp.
Huh?
Where can they follow you?
Oh, yeah. Anything Bumblefoot. It's either bumblefoot.com or twitter.com/bumblefoot, youtube.com/bumblefoot, facebook.com/bumblefoot, instagram.com/bumblefoot, reverbnation.com/bumblefoot.
How much of your day goes to social media? Because like I'm trying to be good at it, and I find it almost exhausting to just, oh shit, I didn't do my Twitter. Oh, I didn't put anything on Instagram today.
Between all the emails and everything from, you know, LinkedIn to Facebook messages to everything that comes in to just people I know, texts, I could get up to 1,000 messages a day.
Wow.
So there are days that I will just say, you know what, I'm just going to take a day to just answer people and do stuff. And I will not leave. It'll be nonstop typing for 16 hours straight on the computer. And it would keep on going until I just pick a point and say, okay, time to stop and do something else.
So it's a full-time job.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And it's part of your job because that's you know, promotion. It just seems like...
Well, the thing is, you know, your goal as a musician is to connect musically. Now we have this whole other way to do it as well, personally, and have all of that. It's wonderful. But you got to remember that, let's say you have 36,000 people. Well, let's say, all right, let me be exact, 36,525 people are following you. I'm including Leap Year on this. Now, if each person messages you once a year, that's 100 messages a day. So imagine if you have hundreds of thousands, you know, and some people, you know, they'll never message you. In other words, they're going to send you 10 messages a day. So it kind of, you could say it might balance out a bit, but it really is, it's that many people that reach out to you. And even if they do it once every 2 years, that could add up to hundreds or thousands of messages a day.
Do you answer all the messages?
I used to, and it reached a point where I was getting physical problems in my hands, you know, just stress injuries and stuff from just answering messages so much. So I backed off and I was like, all right, I got to decide what is more important, answering every message that comes in or being able to still play guitar.
I know some people make a rule of just never answering messages so they don't exclude anybody.
Right.
I mean,
it's kind of like don't give anybody gum unless you're going to give everybody gum.
Listening to your latest album, it sounds like a lot of that was inspired by being in your position, like being on the road and being... I mean, there's one song literally about being on the road. And I was like, oh, I get that.
Yeah, it's about the transitions.
But,
you know,
I mean,
that people, you know, when you have to hop into your fireman outfit and slide down the pole and, you know, go do your thing.
And there's also the concept of little... I really... It's funny because the little brother is watching, like, that whole... That phrase just painted a picture in my head. It's like... And I think everybody has that feeling, but when you... I mean, look, most people have maybe 400, 500, you know, people they're connected with in their social networks. Mm-hmm. But when you have a huge network of people you don't know, you get careless sometimes and you'll post something and be like, oh, fuck, what did I just do? You know what I mean? Like, you'll post something of someone and they're not comfortable with it, or you're not, and you don't even know. So, I mean, that's why...
You're just being normal and you forget. It's like, uh-oh, this, you know...
This is not appropriate
to go out. This has a big reach.
Yeah.
And you forget all the time, yeah. I always forget. I act normal, and it's like, oh, wait, the world doesn't see me as normal, even though I see me as normal. But that happens. That's normal. That's fine.
And I thought that was a really interesting theme. I mean, I...
But you know what? The theme, it's, you know, it's just one side of a big picture. It's like it's focusing on one little piece of the picture, and it's not the whole picture. I mean, it's predominantly good, what we have. I mean, we wouldn't... People would not be able to hear what we're saying right now if not for all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a wonderful thing. We would not be able to share music or show us hanging out and jamming if not for that. But if anything, I wanted to touch one little aspect of this world we live in, which is, how does it make you feel? And it can make you feel a lot of different ways. And one of that ways is paranoid, like, you know, the way people feel when they thought Big Brother was always watching them. I'm not going through that easy pass. I don't want the government knowing I went through that toll. Yeah, because government really cares that you took that exit. But yeah, I mean, that's how people feel. And so imagine now, it's the same entity. The only difference is that, you know, it's divided into a million little individual pieces instead of one bigger piece. Even then, like, what is Big Brother? You know, it's a whole bunch of people acting as one. Little Brother, you could say, is individuals all acting on their own, but when you take the sum of all of that, it's still one entity. And I think the issue is really not Big Brother versus Little Brother. It's, you know, it's kind of like two teams just wearing different jerseys but playing the same sport. It's really a question of who wants to have the control and keep it. And it's really a battle of order versus chaos. You know, each side is worried about the other, you know, taking away their order. And that's the big thing that people struggle with. Because even on a minimal level, when you say, uh-oh, I posted something and it's going viral and everyone's calling me an asshole, that's the chaos. And your goal was to, you know, not have that happen. That's, you know, you want to keep order. It's the maintaining the order is the things that we struggle with.
Little brother wants to make headlines, be immortalized. Everyone's got an electric eye with the digital spies. They've watched you for so long.
I just want to tell you that you have been an enormous influence on my life and had a huge, and the time I spent with you had a huge impact on me. It really did.
I'm sorry.
No. But look. All right,
Thank you, man.
Look at what I do. I have a podcast where we do jokes and we make, you know, we do goofy songs and we fuck up, you know, songs that people like. That's something I learned from you. But even like down to the gear I was saying, like, you know, like when I bought my first computer, I said, what do I get? When I saw Ron, he had an Angle and the Nova system. I got a Nova system and an Angle. It's just, you know, it's just a. I got it right in the back there. But
I can attest to this because I didn't meet you until like 2 years ago at the NAMM show or something. But I felt like I've known you this whole time because it's just you were such a part of his life that it can, even not having met you, I felt like I knew you. You know, it's cool. A huge influence on him.
When we're in the car, I do this thing because you know, I actually hate music, but when I'm in the car and we're listening to like the iPhone on shuffle.
So this is Richie's.
You listen to music?
No.
I never listen to music. I will go through the car in complete silence for 2 hours, and it's like
this is what Richie does. He puts on the iPhone, iPod, whatever, on shuffle, and it's like,
But what do I stop at every time?
Bumblefoot song, Little Richard, and creepy Neil Diamond songs.
Woo! Wow.
Or so Batman. Batman.
You rate
soundtrack.
You rate very high.
Well, cool.
Can we talk about
you?
When he broke my basement for my birthday party playing this song?
Wait, I broke your basement.
I invited you to my birthday
party. No, that was drunk.
Oh, drunk. I said, can you play drunk? And you said, you're not going to like it. I said, can you please play drunk at my birthday party? I think I was like 18 or something.
What did I do?
I said, can you play drunk? And he said, all right, fine. I said, you really want this? You want this? Yes, yes, yes. You started playing it and you started knocking shit over as you're playing the song. You started kicking mic stands over and like chairs.
I trashed your bedroom as I sang, didn't
you?
Or the basement. I did the song right.
Okay.
Was so I rolling on the floor too? And
it was awesome.
I was gonna say about the little lounge project we did together where
we didn't even talk about that.
I tried to bring that up before,
also,
but there's no.
I was on the floor the entire time laughing.
Yeah. Okay, these are albums. I don't know if you can get them anymore. They're lounge tributes. We did a lounge tribute to Ozzy and Black Sabbath. Actually, one of those songs ended up on The Osbournes. Yeah, you hooked that up.
I did.
And then another. Then
Which
we did
one was
an Eminem,
it?
An Eminem tribute. But if they're on CMH or Vitamin Records or something, I don't remember the label. But if you can find those.
It's pretty funny.
Yeah, yeah. Our name's not on them. We had alter egos.
Right.
I was two people.
No, you were Herbert Ruffles
Herbert
Lovelace.
Lovecraft. Herbert Ruffles Lovecraft. And that was like the hey. And then the you know, belligerent old, you know, Checkers Goldstein.
Checkers! You know what? I'll play something of this, of that. Yeah. I still have it.
And you were, of course, Clemenza.
I was Clemenza because Clemenza in The Godfather is played by an actor named Richard Castellano. You were
Don Chester.
Don Chester, and my dad was Tony Calzone.
And the drum machine was Skins. Something.
Oh, right? Something like that.
So yeah, so we were hired by this label to do lounge versions, basically, you know, lounge tribute albums or. What would you even call them?
Butcher jobs. Yeah. Jobs.
So, like, we need a lounge versions of Eminem songs. It's like, really?
I'm sorry,
okay.
Mama.
I didn't mean to hurt you. I didn't mean to make you cry. But I'm cleaning up my closet.
He did the Stevie.
Oh, yeah. I did. Ooh, oh, yeah.
Stevie.
Stevie.
That's what you said.
I did, right? Yeah.
Stevie.
Oh, that's so funny. Kiss me goodbye. On second thought, I don't. I fucking wish you would die. I never meant to hurt you. I never meant to make you cry. But tonight, I'm cleaning up my closet. I'm sorry, Mama.
Stevie.
I never meant to hurt you. Yeah, I never meant to make you cry. But tonight, I'm cleaning out my closet. Oh, yeah. I never meant to make you cry. But tonight, I'm cleaning out my closet. Cause this room's a mess. I never meant to make you cry. But tonight, I'm cleaning out my closet. Yeah, I'm cleaning out my closet. Ooh, yeah, I'm cleaning out my closet. For you people right in the front there, I'm cleaning out my closet. Ooh, thank you very much.
When we were actually, this is around the same time when you were playing. What? What?
It's coming back.
I'm remembering being in the basement trying to do all the lines. And Obi-Wan Kenobi, this thing called techno. Like, I'm reading the lyrics to
The Real Slim Shady. Oh, no, yeah, Without Me.
Without Me from Eminem. And I didn't go over them or anything. I'm just kind of reading them as I go in this character of Checkers Goldstein. I'm picturing this 90-year-old guy in like a
Tony Clifton kind
of. Yeah, total Tony Clifton, reading the stuff. And as I'm reading, just getting tripped up, and it said something about Limp Bizkit in there, so I'm like, and zoomy dude, reading the words, and then I just stop like, what?
the hell's a Limp Bizkit? And just going on, it's a job for me. A tisket, a tasket. I go tit for tat with Chris Kirkpatrick. What the hell's a Limp Bizkit? And Moby One Kenobi, Ooby Dooby Cannoli. And you don't know me, this thing called techno. Where's that signal? I write with pencils. Print spaghetti, so crash that cymbal, bang. But sometimes the shit just seems everybody only wants to disgust me. So this must mean I'm disgusting. But it's just me, I'm just obscene. What? Well, I don't need controversy, do. Again, we speak of the king, Mr. Elvis Presley. 20 million rap fish in the sea. It'll be so empty without me. And verse 3. If you don't want me to sing in verse 3, don't put it on the paper.
That was ridiculous. That was a ridiculous time of my life.
That was so ridiculous.
It was so much laughter. Those were the funniest recording sessions
and ever. And we ate like shit. You know what's funny? We would eat sushi and all that rice and salt, and we would just, like, you know, we must have smelled horrible.
Probably.
But, yeah. Anyway, I want to do something we did.
Should we do one of the...
No. I'm going to play. I'll put a clip in. I'll edit it in. But there's one thing I want to do. We did this one night when you were playing with my shitty cover band. We're going to do something. We played one night in this place... I don't remember the name of it. It was up in Westchester, and you were there with us, and we played this place, and there were 15 people there. And we used to do this Sgt. Pepper medley, which was the first two songs of the album. But after, you know, that's the end of it. I went... Oh, so I did that. And we kept going with the whole album until we started fucking up really bad, which was fixing a hole. So I want to
fixing a song.
So, Ron,
challenge.
Let's do it.
Let's hit it. All
let's
right.
do it.
Let's see how far we can.
Let's see how far we can get.
Pick
let's
an album. You pick any Beatles album, and we will play the whole album.
We're gonna play it to fixing a hole because we fucked that up last time.
We could probably go more. Well, he has the fretless for the sitar stuff.
Yeah, and I'll MIDI it later. Okay. Let's see how far we can get with this. You can use it if you want to use that yellow riff that's got flats on it.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Ah, the yellow one has the flats.
I know Rob Sprantz of the Riotcast Network is going to love this. Well, if we do it well.
Still love it.
Oh, you know what? Give me that Rickenbacker. Let's do this.
You
want
to do
this?
Which input do I put it in? Oh, you only have one?
No, we should do is...
One
honestly.
Now.
Should... You know StageIt.com? Basically... StageIt.com is like this, only it's streaming live and people buy tickets and there's a tip jar and people...
Really?
Bon Jovi is doing it. I mean, a lot of people are doing these live internet shows.
There goes the neighborhood. No, I'm kidding. Really?
Yeah. I mean, like, there's a lot of people that are doing these concerts. And I was thinking about starting to do them myself. Also, just at my studio. I would... And I was just thinking of it now. If I was going to do that, I would, without practice... or anything, I'd have people just say, pick a Beatles album, and then play the whole damn album through every...
Well, let's go over the middle part really quick. The bottom part. Let's try it together. One, two, three, four.
Yeah.
guitar is the worst sounding guitar ever.
When you play,
is that working, that bass?
Yeah.
Do you need more? You need
there
more
you
juice?
Go. That's a nice.
I can drag it up here. Yeah, but it has less input than my Fender.
Play.
Yeah, why don't you play your
Variax? Oh, stuff. Because this is my Beatles guitar. So let me practice that with you one more time, Amory. 1, 2, 3, 4. Sing this. Let's divvy it up now. Let's see. Can you sing the first track?
Why don't we just Sergeant Pepper? Why don't we just go?
Well, because I have lyrics.
Well, it was 20 years ago today. Sergeant Pepper told the band to play. We're going in and out of style, but they guaranteed to raise a smile. So let me introduce to you the act, you know, for all these years.
Hey,
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I'll grab Lucy. Do you want Getting Better?
Sure. With Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Do you want to sing the melody there? With Sergeant Pepper's
Lonely Hearts Club Band. We hope you will enjoy the show.
Are you going to go?
With Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
I'll do it all four of us. 1, 2, 3, 4.
With Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We hope you will enjoy the show. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Sit back and let the evening go.
Does it go up? It goes up the highway?
And I got it.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club.
Do you want to trade parts with me, Eddie?
Is that
I'm doing the bass line.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band.
Such we hope you will enjoy the show.
Yeah, okay.
Well, all right, let me raise you so I can hear what you're singing.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We hope you will enjoy the show. With Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Sit back and let the evening go.
I don't think that's a part.
It is. It's in there. There's a low part.
I'm doubling the melody there.
Sometimes you are.
No, there's a high part.
Yeah, she's got that.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm doing this.
If you're doubling it, that's fine.
Slowly, blah, blah, blah.
We hope you will enjoy the show. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Sit back and let the evening go. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. We hope you will enjoy the show.
Does my part go up at the end of the bag?
I think it stays on the G. Yeah.
Let the evening go.
It's F sharp.
Goes down. Okay. Sergeant Pepper's Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely. Stays there too?
I think so, yeah.
Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Okay.
Alright.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're rolling and everything. It's wonderful to be here.
It's wonderful. Alright. Yep, here we go. Alright. I want to thank our special guest, Ron Bumblefoot Thal, and now we're going to do something that might end in a disaster, but we don't care. All right. I think it's safe to say everybody in this room loves the Beatles, right?
Who?
Okay, good. One. Wait, we have to make some crowd noise. Chatter, everybody, chatter, chatter,
chatter, chatter, chatter,
chatter. Well, it was 20 years ago today. Sergeant Pepper told the band to play. Trees and marmalade skies.
all the time. I used to get mad in my school.
No, I can't complain.
The teachers have taught me one cool.
No, I can't complain.
You're holding me down, turning me around, filling me up with your rules. I've got to admit, it's getting better. Since you've been mine, I used to be angry old man behind the head of the sand. I gave you the word, I finally heard. Doing the best that I can. I have to admit, it's getting better, a little better. Since you've been mine, getting so much better all the time. It's getting better all the time. Better, better, better. It's getting better all the time. Changing my scene, and I'm doing the best that I can. Ooh, I have to admit, it's getting better, a little better, all the time.
It can't get no worse.
Yes, I admit, it's getting better,
better,
a little better.
And it really doesn't matter if I'm wrong, I'm right. Where I belong, I'm right.
I want to thank our special guest, Ron Thal. Thank you for coming today.
Thank you.
So I've been dying to have you on the show. I know you're super busy, and thank you for making the time to come on.
No, thank you. It's been a good minute since we jammed.
Yeah. On bass, the incredible Danny Miranda. Hey! On drums, the amazing Andy Escalise. On keyboards and vocal, the feisty Enrique Castellano.
Feisty.
And helping us out today on applause and cameras, the lovely Brandy Metaxas. Is Philip still here?
Yes, he's upstairs in the couch.
And the napping, Philip Castellano. Thanks for listening. And let's maybe I'll play something off the album to close this out.
Sure.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Upon a time a child turned up blue, running wild. Now we don't know who to pray to anymore. I once thought God was good and kind, then Mother Nature blew my mind and left my broken body on the floor. Now I don't know who to pray to anymore.